How's it going? It's Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. It's Wednesday. It feels like Wednesday today. Especially on a night where there's no sports.
I don't know. It feels later in the week for me. Extra shift? You're used to the extra shifts. You're like a 9-shift-a-week kind of person. I'm a 5-shift-a-week kind of person.
Do you have a shift tonight?
I will have multiple shifts if I go to men's league tonight. It's not a late game. We're dealing with a snowstorm, though. Like, maybe I might be a game timer.
Well, there's a late game Raptors decision. Game, too, so you'll be up.
Well, you know I have strategy for the Raptors. The rewatch in the morning.
You can't miss the Beam team in action.
Raptors in 30?
That would be great.
That's the best thing
not
about sportsnet
now, by the way. Not that we don't want to do our jobs, but...
No, Raptors in 30 allows you to do your job more efficiently.
I mean, at this point, Raptors in 30 is like...
Blue Jays in 30 is a delight.
A nice treat for the fans. Did they win or not? Are we tanking or not?
Cole's notes. We're at the Cole's notes part of the Raptors season, though, for sure.
Yes.
We are. We just need to know exactly what happened. Because what are we building for? Are we like, is there someone emerging kind of, you know, beneath the starting lineup, the seventh or eighth man rising to the occasion? That's not really, you know, beyond the box score stuff, not really pertinent to the Toronto Raptors, who are preparing for either a fire sale or adding. Who knows what they're going to do over the next couple weeks here, but lots of news in Raptors land, and we'll obviously get to that in a bit.
Why don't we start with that?
We can. It's your show.
No, it's not.
It's our show.
Whoa,
it's our show.
Chill.
You're very protective of the possessiveness of the show. If I say your show, I'm just like...
It's not my show.
It's figure of speech.
Shared
show.
It's called the Fan Morning Show. It's the fans' show.
It's true.
It's everyone in the text line. It's us that...
It's our community show.
It's our community.
The community that I continue to let down.
I was going to find a way to...
I ripped up Nikola Vucevic's Hall of Fame jacket.
The Hall of Famer is gone. You are the cooler for all of the picks.
I am 100% the cooler.
That was everybody's thought going in, and you snagged it from the text line and...
We had, like, what, 4 or 5 submissions being like, Vucevic. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll just take Vucevic so I don't let people down tonight. The guy had 8 rebounds in the first half, did not have a single one. What did Indiana
It's actually kind of spooky.
Pacers not miss a shot? Pacers didn't miss a shot, and there were just no rebounds available? What happened there in the second half?
Something's going on, man.
I should have stuck to my guns.
We need the sage.
The play was Vancouver. That is, you always do that. That's a gambling rule. New coach, bet the team with the
really?
New coach
but
coming in.
But it was different, the circumstances.
And that's why I didn't do it, because you told me it was different.
Oh, it's my fault.
I didn't.
Okay.
I agreed that it might be different.
I have yet to miss a pick in like 3 weeks.
I know.
So don't throw me under the bus here, bud.
Although, well, no, you didn't have that. That was Neil's.
I was close last night. Did Neil hit? Kind of.
Neil
hit for my books.
Depending on where you bet it, Neil hit. But we'll give Neil the win. It was officially on the
Tommy
official
Paul,
wake and rake is 4.5.
Electric tennis player.
Tommy Paul's one to watch.
Bruins barely cover that puck line. Whoosh, bit nerve-wracking. Both teams did not score. And Lazio. Randall continues his Hall of Fame career. Over. No LeBron James over rebounds. And Boise State, I don't even know what the score was. But
yeah, it's a bit hit or miss.
Yeah, you know, the alt parlay took a hit.
But when we're looking at the Raptors, we need hits. We need hits.
Yeah.
And
in 30 minutes.
I guess content creators in the NBA, if you want a hit right now, you're coming up with a report on the Toronto Raptors. Because we're getting one every day.
Oh, my God.
And thank God. Because it's nicer to talk about that than what's going wrong with the pick and roll offensive structure. Like,
lots.
I have no idea. Like, it has not been good. It isn't good.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're getting trade discussion to unpack every day, I think we're in a good spot.
Okay, quickly on Vancouver, because that was a big... Everyone was watching what was going on last night over in Vancouver because the new regime of Rick Tocchet started last night.
Mm-hmm.
Canucks do get the win at home, but less than 5 minutes into the game, jersey thrown on the ice. What do you make of that?
I feel like Vancouver's fan base is more a part of the story than any other team's fan base.
Mm.
Like, it's not just about the team. It's about the market and the conversation and what's going on. And, like, they've had that before when things were really going poorly. I think they were doing that to protest to get to the point where they got Boudreau in. Like, that's just a common tack used by Vancouver Canucks fans who are as involved in the story as I mentioned, any other market, it seems. But I think they're going to have to get it out of their system. Because as much as, like, I don't necessarily know if Rick Tocchet's the right guy. I don't know if he's a good coach. I have no idea. They played better, so maybe there's a step in the right direction.
Okay, they played better last night, and that was, like, everyone's article.
Against Chicago.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're, like, most shots in their season. They had the most scoring chances. It really looked like the team was responding well. It's like you played
Chicago. I don't expect them to be good because their roster isn't that good. However, you cannot, as an organization, have success if everyone's not on the same page. Mm-hmm. We saw it in Toronto. We saw two competing interests at play at all times with head coach Mike Babcock engaging in a tug of war on a daily basis with general manager Kyle Dubas. If those things are happening, competing interests at the same time, you're not going to have success because one person is doing things despite the other. And when that happens, everything falls apart. As much as there's a huge chasm between the Bruins and Blackhawks, this league is pretty close. So if you're not functioning at a high level, if you're doing things that are going to set you back, self-inflicted things, it's going to have an effect. So I feel like in order to have success, you need everyone top down on the same page. Finally, they're going to have that. Maybe they can actually put their best foot forward. Unfortunately, the best foot forward is probably like 92 points and fringe playoff team. They're going to have to continue to take away from the roster, which means they're going to get worse, but at least they'll have the person in charge putting the message out there that the general manager wants.
I mean, they're a 27th place team when Rick Tocchet walked in the door for the Canucks.
It's not going to get much better.
It's not. So he gets mixed reactions coming into last night's game. Obviously, we mentioned the jersey thrown on the ice moments into the game. Some boos and some cheers. He was asked about this post-game, and I don't know if he's like, he's trying to win the media over and be a little like...
He's in a tough spot. He's got to do some winning over.
Good luck. This is what he said.
Well, you don't know my middle name is? It's Lou. Do you know that?
Is it really?
Yeah, a couple people. Yeah, I think they've
trans mic'd up there.
No, listen. They were cheering the players. They were loud. Like, you know, when we were scoring goals 5-2 at the end, they were cheering. Listen, I'm not trying to suck up to them or anything like that. They're a great fan base. I mean, they're passionate and
just a little bit though.
They were loud as hell. I mean, you can ask Footy and Sergey because we're new on the block. They, man, this is a loud building. So that was fun.
He's like, no, they like me.
Yeah,
they like me.
It's like we won and things are great.
I mean,
a couple boos, but he said that it was lose. So
it's as tough a position to start with. I mean, if you looked at the press conference, the first like 4 or 5 questions were about Bruce Boudreau. Like when you're unveiling a new coach, usually it's like not necessarily a celebration, but you want to know what that coach has to say.
That's tough.
And that wasn't the case. So I think he's, you know, it's an uphill battle, but yeah, 5-2 victories where it starts with protests, ends with 2 points, ends with celebrating goals. Like they are going to respond accordingly. And as much as they are part of the story, Canucks fans tell it like it is, react like it is, are always there reacting and giving the sort of response that is germane to the moment. Like they're going to be there and they're going to boo if it's bad and they're going to cheer if it's good. So as long as our buddy Rick Tocchet gets 2 points and the Canucks play better, he's going to win over some fans eventually.
2 points, Tocchet.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be his name.
2 point Tocchet.
All right. Good luck because they got the Kraken this weekend. That'll be a good one. The new rivalry of the West Coast ignited. Best of luck to him, honestly. Well, do the Canucks come here anytime soon, ever? I'd love to see what the Toronto media says to the Leafs go out on March 4th to play him.
Okay, so he'll get the half experience.
We'll get Luke Fox jukebox on the ground then. Get the scoop. All right, you mentioned the Raptors yesterday. More news, more rumblings and mumblings. But this one's tangible, actual, physical news.
Mm-hmm.
Bleacher Report insider Chris Haynes reported that Fred VanVleet parted ways with his agency, Parlay Sports and Entertainment. He's looking to hire a new agent ahead of free agency this summer with the expectation that he will decline his player option and hit the open market. According to the Ringer's Kevin O'Connor, the Clippers are the latest team to show interest in Fred VanVleet. They're also targeting ex-Raptor Kyle Lowry. What a little reunion that would be.
Clippers got to come up with some like original ideas, right?
Why don't we take the team that won and just steal their best players?
Norm and Kawhi. Let's bring Freddie and Kyle in. Let's just do what the Raptors did.
Yeah, maybe we'll get
4 years
Nick
ago.
Nurse.
Maybe
we'll
he'll
just
be
take them
maybe
all.
He'll be on the market. Okay, we want to start with Fred.
Let's start with Fred.
I think the single most important thing right now for the Raptors is identifying what exactly Fred VanVleet wants. Like, clearly you're unhappy with something. You want something different. You want something to change if you hire a new agent, right?
Definitely.
You're not happy with something. And it seems like if you're doing that, if you're hiring a new agent, it might just be as simple as a money thing, right?
And
why else would you hire a new agent? Like, it's
for sure.
It's not like he's going to be like knocking on the doors of the other 29 teams and being like, hey, I got a product for you. Like, that's not, he's not a salesman, right? It's about money. It's about making sure they make the best financial decision, at least it seems. Or, hey, this person's going to take less of a cut. I don't even know. I don't know what it is, but it seems like if you're making an assumption, it would be rooted in money.
Okay, two reasons that this stuck out to me as well as what you mentioned. If there's anyone that's going to go for the bag, it's Fred VanVleet. Bet on yourself. He wants the contract.
Why is that, though?
But that's his whole motive.
Like, is that the thing that's going to make him happiest?
Well, no, I just think that he has his whole career is about proving himself.
I guess.
So if he wants to go out there and get that bag king, as we used to say, I'm not surprised. But then a part of me thinks maybe going for a new agent has to do with some of, like, the leaks that, remember how we were talking about Fred VanVleet's contract, maybe he wasn't happy. Like, those are little things, but they could be significant
in
terms of trust.
The contract being discussed then was what it was, right? Like, he was eligible to sign that deal.
And that came out of somewhere. And I'm not saying his agency fumbled the bag, but it's just significant because it doesn't happen with every single NBA player. There's so much gossip and there's, you know, tampering, whatever, but I don't know, if you're heading into free agency and there's a glimmer of maybe mistrust with your agency, things came out that you weren't really prepared to talk about.
Maybe that's it.
And he was adamant when we spoke about it last week. He came out and said, hey, I don't want to talk about this stuff. And he made it a point to bring it to the media to shut it down, right?
Maybe he found a mole in his own camp.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, there's not a 0% possibility that that's a reason why. But the other percent is
I didn't think
that
about that. That's a good point.
The other half of it is that it's Fred VanVleet. And the guy is going to go for the most amount of money. And he believes he's worth a lot of money. So if his agency isn't seeing eye to eye, someone else will pick up that option to represent him and get that cut that he might be worth.
So when that story came out, I thought, okay, that's one too many bets on himself. Mr. Bet on himself. That was a miscalculation because maybe that money's not going to be there. But then I was quickly reminded that money means basically nothing in the NBA, where you can't make a bad financial decision, at least it seems. Like, it's really, really difficult. Like, Fred's going to get something. Fred's going to get a massive contract because everyone signs a massive contract. Like, I 100%, just waiting a year, it'll probably benefit him even after a bad season because the money will always be there. Someone's going to want a point guard of his ilk.
But I'm going to say this is his last chance possibly to get the bag. He's going to turn 29.
It's the last, like,
big multi-year contract. It's his big money contract. So do it right.
I 100% agree. But what is it about? If he's Mr. Prove Yourself, is it, I'm trying to prove that I can make the most money possible. I'm trying to prove that I can sign a bigger contract than anyone ever thought I would ever sign. Or is it proving that you can still be a good NBA player? Like, what is the priority at this point? It seems like the priority is that contract this year. Does it not?
Yeah. At this point, firing your agent, trade rumors going on, leakage about what you were offered and what you're not accepting, the fact that you are bet on yourself, you're the undrafted guy that's been trying to make a name for the struggle, the come up, like, it does seem to circle around money. Do you blame the guy? A little bit?
I mean, again, it's just like, okay, he was offered, or $114 million were on the table, right? Let's say he signs I don't know what the escalating factor is, but let's say he signs a 4-year deal with $130 million. Yes, you made $16 million extra. Congratulations. But are you going to earn any more fans in this city if you sign a deal like that and you are a complete bum for the duration of that contract, right? So what is it about now? Is it about being fat and happy, or is it about being a really good point guard on a really good team? Because he can go and sign with Charlotte, in the offseason.
He can still be fat and happy on another team.
Exactly. You can go and sign with Charlotte for the most money possible, but you have to figure out what the priority is for Fred VanVleet right now.
But he's already won a ring, so exactly. How much is that?
There's some fat and happiness, right? So what do you want, Fred? That's the most important thing for the Raptors.
Wouldn't we like
to
know?
Do you want to sign for the most money and be here? Do you want to win another championship? Do you want to help this group? Or do you just want to make every last penny because the chip on your shoulder still exists after being undrafted and not making the bag early on in your career? Like, what is the priority? I want to know what the priority is if I'm Masai Ujiri. And I'm not honestly that comfortable with someone whose sole focus, at least it seems this year, navigating this contract thing, navigating different agencies and trying to figure out how we can juice every single drop out of the lemon. I want to know if Fred, if it still burns for this guy on the basketball court or if it just burns in the bank account.
No, I think it burns in the basketball court. This guy's a leader.
Has he led this year? Have you seen leadership this year? I don't want to sour too much on this guy,
You hate Fred VanVleet.
Well, that's a lot of people are just like, why is everyone turning on Fred? I haven't seen many redeeming qualities out of Fred VanVleet this year.
He has had not his best on-court performance this year. That's easy to state. I don't think he's lost the drive to be a competitive basketball player. I think there's a lot of people on this organization that are playing for themselves right now. We just talked about this last week. What are you playing for? You know your team isn't going to be a successful playoff team. You might not even make the play-in. So at this point, there's some people with question marks about what's next in their future. Gary Trent Jr. can put in the same boat. He's playing for his contract.
But he's also been quiet and just played really well. Like
Is because somebody leaked the fact that he had.
No, he's going on JJ Redick and talking about how he can wants everybody in the NBA to know how good he still is. Right now, firing the agent. I want to make sure I'm putting myself in position. Like it's kind of been the strongest Fred VanVleet stuff this year.
Yeah, it has been
about, hey, I'm still a valuable commodity. I am still a valuable commodity. Right?
Yeah.
Despite all this wreckage I'm currently dealing with in terms of a basketball team that I should be leading, that I should be making better, and I'm not making better at the moment, I'm still a valuable commodity. It's about me, I'm valuable commodity Fred this year more than it is about anything else. Do you not agree with that?
Yes, but I do think he's a victim of the situation a little bit with where the Raptors are. If the Raptors were a top four team, which we had kind of predicted they'd be in that top 4 or 5 range, this would be different.
Then it'd be easier because your play does your talking. The winning does the talking.
Yeah.
But he still wants to do the talking.
I don't know. I don't blame him as much. I just think that it has to do with him wanting to that's his brand. Prove yourself. Mm-hmm. Head on yourself. I will say that this
so where's that brand going? Raptors, where's that brand going?
So this just keeps underscoring the fact that if you're not going to keep him, yeah, trade him. Like if he's now firing his agent, it tiptoes more into the realm of I'm trying to get into free agency and make some major money, as you just mentioned. So if the Raptors think they're going to lose him, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Teams are coming calling. He can reunite with his buddies that won the championship. Like, then you're finding a way to make that work. I think this just shifts more focus into Fred being a trade chip because you're not doing this right now, approaching the trade deadline, without a little bit of a sound the alarm that Fred seems to be making financial decisions as well.
If his sole focus, and this isn't about like not like neglecting a basketball team, but in the future, his sole focus, I want to make the most money as possible for the longest amount of time. If that's his sole focus, then the Raptors have to move him.
How many NBA players do you think, like actually though, would care less about making the money?
Like Golden State Warriors, they all make a lot of money.
Yeah, but they
all,
win every year, Justin.
They all keep it together though.
But they win a lot of championships.
I know, and they manage to keep it together. We always talk about the cost of winning, and what's yours, right? You want what's yours. That comes at a cost at others in a salary cap world. Now, there are more loopholes in the NBA, and that's why losing Fred for nothing is damaging.
You can't, because, that's not an option.
Because it's kind of musical chairs. If you're left without a seat, then you're in trouble. But if you just change seats, then you can survive it and you can figure out a way to manage assets, control assets, and keep the level of talent on your team. But losing him for nothing would be bad. And if he want, but the worst thing, probably, actually losing him for nothing is worse.
There's nothing worse than that.
There's nothing worse than that, but paying him every last cent, maximizing and making it really hard to build around
an
aging asset.
1A, 1B at times.
That's also bad, right? So you have to, Fred, if there's a discount, Fred's, yeah, you probably want to entertain that because you still have something here. You can probably, you know, maintain this, still be a competitive team. But giving him everything he wants so he doesn't have to be the same basketball player anymore, that's bad.
I wonder if we kind of glamorize the hometown discount a bit because the Maple Leafs get that a lot.
Well, who's the best team in the NHL?
Not the Maple Leafs, the Boston Bruins.
Boston Bruins signed their big contracts before the McDavid boom.
Mm-hmm. Marchand, but some of them came back this offseason because they wanted to help their team.
Patrice Bergeron did that.
I'm just saying, I don't think we see that as much in the NBA.
They even them were like, we talk about the Boston Bruins is like, yeah, they all buy in, they all accepted, they all do this and that. Only really one person's done that. It's Patrice Bergeron. And he did it this year because he wanted to come back and win a championship. He wanted to play on a team that Bruce Cassidy wasn't coaching. He wanted to see what could happen.
But he's made his money already.
David Pastrnak's going to challenge all this. He has made his money, but he hasn't made that much money. He's been underpaid his whole career.
Sure.
So,
but he's not going to go make more money anywhere else, is what I mean.
Oh,
he almost retired.
Of course he could.
But he almost retired.
He could have stepped into free agency. Someone would have paid him $12 million for
a year. Yeah, but I guess there's the feeling that you're part of that culture and that team. And he's, I think that's a bit more...
He is a Boston Bruin. He helps set the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. He helps establish the values of that organization. And again, David Pastrnak will challenge that this summer. He's going to get a lot of money.
But the Bruins are close to winning. The Raptors aren't.
But the Raptors have been.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, it's not... We do glamorize it. It doesn't happen all the time. But that's why you have to make cutthroat decisions as an organization. You can't just give them everything they want. You can't just give them market value.
Either.
You have to assess assets as they are. And Fred is, I think, if not diminishing, very close to being a diminishing asset. It's just the reality of age and where the NBA is going.
Mm-hmm. No, I think we're making the same point. Like, you can't lose Fred for nothing. He clearly
is... You got to figure out what he wants.
He's a guy that... I don't think he's alone in this, would like to make some money in his ages where this is now the time to do so.
Yeah, and I don't want to be like, yo, he's a bad person for not taking $114 million if it was available. Like, that's just... But that would have been the move that would be palatable, I think, because it's not where it's going. And you've had one less year to gain and pick up information and accrue and see exactly what this player is. Maybe that $114 million keeps the chip on his shoulder. I don't really know. We're like, this is kind of like speculative and conjecture. Mm-hmm. But you just, you got to figure out what he wants. It's simple as that.
And you're running out of time because the trade deadline's around the corner. There's a stretch here where they're on the road to come back. You got to know, obviously, before the trade deadline. Because if he's not going to sign with you in free agency, you can't let February 9th pass you by without anything for Fred VanVleet. So just adds to that, the fact that these moves happened, you're cleaning out your agency, it's significant. So where that leads you, we'll see. But
where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's been a lot of smoke this year.
That's right. All right, well, in a similar sense, if we're trying to figure out what the Raptors should do, what Fred VanVleet wants, I think we could talk similarly with the Maple Leafs because they're approaching the trade deadline a little further away, but... We see what the Boston Bruins are doing. We wonder which direction the Maple Leafs will go. They are playing in New York tonight. They're keeping the lines going from the previous match up, which was interesting. We didn't predict that. I don't think many people thought that they would string two of those performances together. This was just from practice. Like, they could switch it up, but I doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah, they could.
It also looks like Samsonov is starting again, which mm-hmm. we were in the boat for.
Mm-hmm. Another big-time goaltending matchup with Shesterkin
and
Likely.
And he mentioned that in the media yesterday, that he wants to go head-to-head with Shesterkin because they trained together in offseason. So now Samsonov has changed his tune. He wants to battle against the best. He wants to play Ilya versus Ilya. He wants to play Shesterkin. He has found this wave of confidence that is clearly working in his favor. We thought that he should play tonight. Maybe Friday, it's Matt Murray. Sunday, against his former team, is Ilya Samsonov, and then you get to make that decision for the Boston Bruins. But we were talking previously about, is this the year to go all in with the Maple Leafs? And my God, we Kipper a lot yesterday on the show. People love when Kipper says something on the show and it becomes a quote board. Because
they also love Matthew Nyes.
So yeah, that's what I thought was interesting. I don't know how many people in Leafs land watch NCAA, but it seems like, and I don't mean this in a backhanded way, that everybody has become a Matthew Nyes scout and a connoisseur of his game. And he was just nominated for the Hobie Baker, and he's having a point per game NCAA career.
As he should, as a high-level prospect at that age.
For sure. And he's slaying the NCAA.
Yeah.
But the fact that we brought this up with Kipper yesterday and said, hey, you know, is if whatever, what should the Leafs do with Matthew Nyes? And he says, if you're going to go all in, he can't be off the table. Goodness gracious, he's trending on Twitter again, and it's like he's getting radio, but that's what he said. This was a different situation than the previous time. So I guess it got us thinking, like, okay, is this the year to go all in? Does that mean Matthew Nyes? What is going all in mean? Leafs Nation thinks that it should not ever include Matthew Nyes, and I think the guy's a great player, but I haven't watched every single NCAA game. You see the stats, you see the guy's great. He's projected to fit into this roster as a top six guy, maybe. How much does his game transfer over to the NHL? These are all major question marks we have all the time with top prospects.
So two reasons why it's inflammatory, I guess. One being the idea of trading Matthew Nyes does trigger this fan base for whatever reason.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be the guy that comes in, and it's been a long time since we had a highly touted prospect.
And, well, the last one was Nick Robertson.
Exactly, and see
out.
How that went. So yeah. We're like holding on to Matthew Nyes could be the savior.
We're convinced for whatever reason, and maybe good reason.
And maybe again, that's right. Like
again,
I don't have like a negative feeling about it. I'm just saying this is what happened yesterday
There are people watching him more closely and maybe have reason to believe that his talent is extraordinary.
And I hope it is.
But I guess the other thing is, if you're trying to knock off the Boston Bruins, you may have to throw him in a trade. So that's saying that I guess what may be also triggering is that as constructed currently, the Maple Leafs don't measure up. Now, the Maple Leafs are 1-1 against the Bruins. They're actually 1-0-1. They lost in overtime. Which would lend you believe or give credence to the notion that they can actually compete
with this
team.
They lost in overtime? I thought it was at the end of the regulation.
I just saw. I'm not even thinking about it. I saw it on Twitter yesterday that they were 1-0-1. Either way.
I was at a bar. I don't remember.
Tightly contested games. They've played.
Yes, they're tight. Like, it's a head-to-head, these guys.
One of them's having a far better season. One team's having a far better season. Mm-hmm. But the other team's having an extraordinary season as well. So these are two of the best five, maybe three teams in the league. That's the challenge. However, Boston looks to be this force that may not be able to be vanquished this year. So
you go all in.
But they're also going to make a move. So it's not they're not only better as currently constructed, at least in terms of their performance this season, because they are better based on their record, but they have an easier path to improve. They don't have the restraints of, hey, we got to pay players later. They might have their best player, Patrice Bergeron, walk out the door this year. And if you got a guy like Bo Horvat, you could just give him the Bergeron money, move forward, and hey, you barely miss a beat. So there is a lot to consider there. It's going to be hard to measure up as currently constructed. It's going to be hard to measure up in the arms race towards getting better for the postseason. However, if you just threw them in a postseason series, it's closer to a 50-50 proposition than many people would give the Leafs credit for, I think, right?
Like their constructed rosters right now.
They're both really good teams, and if they played each other seven times if you want to remove the context, if it's just like two teams playing each other, it should probably go seven games with the way that they're performing this year. Maybe Boston has the edge, whatever, it's a small edge. But we have to get through the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Maple Leafs have to get through the Tampa Bay Lightning to get there. And I guess if you're talking about what is all in, what constitutes all in, if it includes Matthew Nyes, if it includes first round picks, if it includes this and that, you're putting everything into this season where the path is pretty difficult and neglecting the next season. And the next season might be the season where the Maple Leafs are most likely to win a Stanley Cup. Whether or not you want to believe that, it may be true just because Tampa will be another year older. Patrice Bergeron might be gone. David Pastrnak's going to make it more difficult for the Boston Bruins to be as talented because he's going to sign a new mega deal this offseason, whether it's in Boston or somewhere else. So Boston gets worse, you'd think. Tampa gets worse, you'd think. And there's an opportunity for the Maple Leafs to be better. We've been talking about how important this year is because there's an uncertain future for the Maple Leafs. We only have five forwards under contract beyond this season. But if we've learned anything about Kyle Dubas, is that he can use the limited cap flexibility that he's had, and he can make best use of it. He can figure out a way to use that money economically, smartly, and efficiently. Like, he can do that. It's actually, like, if he's there next year, if he's there this summer putting the team together, he's proven time and time again he can get three really good players for $5 million. Like, he's done that over and over again. So if he's kind of working with a clean slate, with all the big guys still under contract, he might be able to put together a team that's actually better than this one, even though there are all these expiring assets coming up. Pierre Engvall, Kerfoot, lots of guys that you are questioning right now will be off the books, and there'll be maximum flexibility for Kyle Dubas. Mm-hmm. So if you pour everything into this season, you run into the brick wall, or you lose the coin flip 50-50 with the Boston Bruins, and you've spent all your assets that you could use next season or could help you on the ice next season, this season, are you missing the forest for the trees? Are you too focused on this season when next season might be the year? It's worth considering what this season, what going all in this year does for next year, because next year might be even better if they don't miss or lose sight of the fact that Kyle Dubas can put together a pretty good hockey team, and that despite how important this year is, next year might actually be the year, might be the easiest path to the Stanley Cup, and might be Kyle Dubas's best opportunity to put the best lineup on the ice.
You raise a lot of good points. I just think that the thing that is playing against the Maple Leafs is another year of no postseason success.
Well, you got to be Tampa.
Well, that's the thing. If there's another season where we're in the same boat, I don't think they get the luxury of more time. I don't think there's the next year's our year. It has been the Maple Leafs year for a few years, whether you believe it or not. That's mm-hmm. the perspective looking in, is the Maple Leafs are in this window. Do you get the luxury of just another, trust us for another year? Players that want to play here, hey, you want to sign a big contract here? Just wait one more year. Nylander, you're having your best career season. Can you do it again next year, please? Mm-hmm. Matthews, you haven't had your most productive season this year. That's okay. We love you. Stay another year. Maybe you'll string together a 50-60 goal scoring year. John Tavares, you're declining a little bit. Don't worry. Pump the brakes on that. Next year, you can still be a top four contributor. Are your goaltenders right now red hot? What are you going to get the most out of them next year? These are massive questions. I just think that if you're punting it another year.
It's not punting it. It's just we believe in what we have, and we believe in what we have in the cupboard with Matthew Nyes, with spending sure. our own first round pick.
What if Matthew Nyes comes and he's just fine?
I agree with you.
Like, I don't think that seems...
Is just fine better than Kerfoot at $3.5 million next year?
I don't know.
To your point, though, it's not as easy as like, oh, Kyle Dubas will just spend that money wisely. You're cutting some fat, I think, with Kerfoot. Maybe Engvall. Well, you probably want Engvall.
Just remember
again.
When you gave away a first-round pick for Nick Foligno. This year, I'll just say one thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Don't do that again, because that'll hurt next year.
Of course, don't do that. But right now, I think it's one of the most intriguing trade deadlines, because there's top-end players available, like a little stash of them. It's not always like this. Like, Claude Giroux was last year's hot ticket item. Mm-hmm. But
He's kind of a disaster.
Right. You've got Timo Meyers, Patrick Kane, Bo Horvat in his prime, Jonathan Toews, sure, Ryan O'Reilly when he comes back from injury. Like, those are some significant guys.
Yeah.
If you're going to do something big and land one of those guys, I don't know. Like, what's going to be available at the trade deadline next year? I don't know.
To your point, it's not as easy. It's not that simple. Like, they have a lot to work out this summer. Five forwards under contract, as I mentioned. You probably want to pay Pierre Engvall. You probably want to keep David Kampf around. You got to give Michael Bunting a significant raise.
Do you want to pay
raise.
Pierre Engvall?
I think you want to keep him around, but you don't want to give him more money. Anyway, that's again, okay. So mm-hmm. Let's say Kerfoot, Engvall gone. So a big part of your middle six. You got to pay Bunting probably four times as much at least mm-hmm. on his current salary. Wayne Simmonds is out the door. Zach Aston Reese, you'll have to re-sign. Your Pontus Holmbergs, your Bobby McMahons are back. You've got Cali Yarncroak. That's like, what, nine forwards you can believe in. So there's a lot of work to do. You still have to add. But then you have to pay Ilya Samsonov if you believe in him. You might have That's to right. find a taker for Matt Murray.
These are a lot of question
still
marks.
Owed just under $5 million. Morgan Riley is getting paid this year and continues on. Justin Hall's on an expiring deal. And Jordy Benn also on an expiring deal. So you're going to have to replace a lot. But Kyle Dubas has proven over the course of his tenure here that he can spend money wisely.
Yeah, but he's also
at least on position players.
He's also missed a couple. I mean, every GM's
He's also missed a couple. So
name one that's not made a mistake. I get it.
I just think him working with a semi-blank slate or as blank of a slate as he's had is maybe a good position for him to be in.
But you haven't mentioned that he has no contract after this season.
Well, that's another important thing.
That's huge.
So you're talking about this year. Are you going to let the guy who has no future or an uncertain future trade Nye's first round picks, all that stuff? Are you going to allow that to happen?
Wait, let me just push back on that. Sorry. I don't think that they allowed Kyle Dubas to come into the season without full range of options.
Okay.
I don't believe that they would say, hey, you're going to stay this year, but you're going to be a handcuffed GM. I think he's got the keys to the car, because why would you have not made this change before the season and walked him out with, you can only do 50% of what you want to do this year. Good luck. Try to make it through the postseason, but you can also go all in at the trade deadline. Like, if you're giving him this question mark at the end of the season and he said he wants to be evaluated on the full body of his work, this season is basically, we're seeing 80% of the full body of your work. Sorry.
Okay, let's do a hypothetical then. Let me paint you a scenario. The Leafs don't big game hunt before the deadline. Okay. Nye's in a first round pick preserved. Maybe they trade a second for Jonathan Toews. I don't know. Whatever it is. Okay? So they do something that's not quite at the Boston level, because we expect Boston to do something big. Mm-hmm. But they do something, but again, best assets preserved.
Like a medium.
They beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in round
one. Sure. It's not.
They lose to the Boston Bruins in 7 games. In the second round. Does Kyle Dubas come back?
I just don't think that's good enough.
That's not good enough?
Why are we settling for one playoff round?
Well, I'm not saying you're settling. You're showing some progress, and you set yourself up for next year with not just like, okay.
So you think that's enough? I'll answer the question.
Like, what's good enough for Kyle Dubas to keep his job? He's got to beat the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, he's got to go full Alex Anthopoulos and spend Matthew Nye's first round pick and everything, right? Like, why would he just rest? Why would he just, if he has the autonomy, why wouldn't he do that? Unless he's managing for his next position somewhere else.
I don't think he's doing that.
I don't think so either. I think he wants to be the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs this season and beyond, and far beyond.
So I think you got to win more than one round against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
You got to beat the Boston Bruins then.
I think that's what, unfortunately, the appetite is also in this fan base. You got to think about that too, because this isn't...
Okay, let me tweak it a little bit. He trades Nye's first round pick, big deal, not sure who it is. Maybe
sure.
Maybe it's Chychrun and a member of the Coyote, whatever it is, something to address the issues,
yep,
or perceived issues. They beat Tampa Bay. They lose to Boston.
I don't think people will be happy with that.
I mean, I think that's an easier excuse.
You tried and you failed.
Right? You tried, you spent it. Now we got to kind of start over here.
It's the middle ground that you don't want to be in. You didn't try much, but you didn't make it far. You tried hard, but you didn't make it far. Now you're stuck with nothing. The problem is also, just to say, the Leafs don't have a lot in the cupboards. It's not like you have another Matthew Nyes.
Exactly.
You have some good players, but it's Matthew Nyes is Matthew Nyes. And if you lose Matthew Nyes, you don't have Robertson. You have some younger guys, but he's your guy right now.
There's also they can sign a contract with Auston Matthews this summer. And who does Auston Matthews want to sign that contract with?
And does another year of no playoff success keep your big guys around to say, hey, next year, trust us? We'll beat the Boston Bruins next year because they'll be worse. Your team might be worse too.
They might replace Patrice Bergeron with Bo Horvat, who scores 50 goals every year, and they won't miss a beat.
So what if the Boston Bruins do that? And then you're looking at another Goliath next year.
The Boston Bruins aren't necessarily going. They're not necessarily going anywhere. However, I think the Leafs could be better next year than they are this year. And that's maybe only possible if Kyle Dubas retains his job, which may be only possible if they win a round.
Yeah, it's a tough situation.
Which may be only possible if they trade Matthew Nyes in a first-round pick. It's unbelievable how complex this situation is. And it could be really simple, right? They could have given Kyle Dubas a contract, right? They have all the money in the world.
They could have certainly done
that. They can fire him at any moment. If they had a brutal first round, if they regressed this year, if they were terrible right now, they could just cut bait with that. Cut the check. It doesn't matter. They could simplify this. They chose not to. I don't know what Kyle Dubas has to check off in order to earn himself further employment. I don't know if it's the second round. I don't know if it's the third round. I don't know if it's championship or bust for him. I don't know what was put in front of him, what the challenge was, the gauntlet thrown down in front of him. I don't know what it is. But they could have made things easier on themselves.
That's not the Toronto Maple Leafs way.
It is the layers to unpack here is
And we
is
got
pretty
Jeff
remarkable.
Merrick at 7, which I think will be a really good, he's got the perspective. Something really pressing in the text line, though. Missing the forest for the trees.
You hold me to all of my...
No, I've never heard that before.
I don't remember the context. I remember your reaction.
You said, I'd be missing the forest for the trees.
I think you're distracted from the real point is what I'm getting
at. I thought you made great points, but I just wanted to circle back quickly on the forest and the trees. I just never heard that before, so...
Well, you can, you know,
I like when you bring cool things up.
Idiom.com?
Yeah, I will. But the text line was also intrigued about that one. Is that a CC special?
I don't think so.
Where'd you find it? Are you been reading novels? Emily Dickinson?
I'm a student of the game. Student of the radio game.
I liked it. Anyway, people just
I may not have used it correctly. Now we're underscoring one of my failures.
It's not that you didn't use it correctly.
Well, you didn't even heard it before. You don't know if I used it correctly.
Well, I'm trusting you. I just think it was, I've never heard that before, and I like to learn,
okay.
Justin.
Okay, we'll do a little learning.
I like literature. I like to learn from my co-host. I thought that was very intriguing.
Okay. Glad you brought that up.
Sorry, I wasn't trying to roast you. I'm just
I just don't know if I used it correctly. I don't remember the context.
It was just fine. Talking. I just thought it was cool. Let's get that tattooed.
Hell yeah!
Missing the forest for the trees.
That's the tattoo you need, like the evergreen trees, yeah. Bo Levi Mitchell style.
Got trees on your rib cage.
You're from Sutton, Ontario. You got one of those, no?
You know what? Sutton, Ontario doesn't have tree tattoos.
No? I thought Sutton, Ontario would have tree tattoos.
No, we got a couple of those. What's that design? Not barbed wire, but the one that's kind of like you see it on the side of a car, like the little flame cool thing.
A little flame on the
like
bicep?
A cool, like,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I guess so. A little barbed. I think it's the
Shout
barbed
out
wire.
Sutton. You know what? We're gritty. We can have cool tats.
It's like the UFC fighters in like 1995. They all had the barbed wire.
That's when
Yeah.
I'm picturing that.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I bet there's some Sutton folks. What kind of tattoos we got up there?
The people in the Power Slap League that good old Dana White's pushing. They got the barbed wire.
That's a whole nother
Low key, the most ridiculous thing happening in the sports world right now is the context of Dana White's New Year's Eve.
Oh, it's
and him
awful.
Introducing a Power Slap League. I mean, I can't even believe it when I see it. It's just completely remarkable. And anyway.
Okay, I want to touch on one thing before we take a break. It could be A-list D. Should I just save it for the A-list All-Star game?
Yeah, why not?
All right, cool. Let's take a break. On the other side, we're going to unpack some of the NHL All-Star game additions. Did Meat Pucks make the cut? That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.
Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Bam, 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 bam. Now it's time for the A List.
Bing bong,
bing bong,
bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right, well, you have an update on the saying, which once again, everybody can pump the brakes.
I think I knocked out of the park, to be honest.
I wasn't misunderstanding it. I was just saying I'd never heard it before. Then everyone's like, "Dan, you go to Dartmouth." Yeah.
That's why, like, you didn't have to reveal that.
Well, I just thought I'm going to be honest about not knowing what you said.
You're an honest person.
The phrase, which is see the forest for the trees, was documented in the 1546 era of our lifetime. I just missed it.
How did they?
In 1546, it was documented by John Haywood. So I was just born right after it. I missed it.
John Haywood had the forest take, eh?
That's it. I get why. I understand the forest take. Thank you for that. I'm just letting you know that it was documented in 1546. That's all. So you've been really studying up on your English literature, and I'm proud of you for that.
Thank you, Ailish.
Everybody is upset with me.
It's okay.
Not knowing that
because
I went to
Dartmouth. We'll get past this. We'll get past it. We're good.
I'm good with it. Did you play the A-list thing?
He did.
Okay, I missed it. I'm too busy responding to people in the text line. All right. The NHL All-Star Game announced two new events, and unfortunately, I hate to break the news to the no meat pucks. I didn't think it was.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. Pretty half-baked idea.
I don't know how it was going to work was a problem.
Frozen idea. Using alligators.
Someone might have been half-baked.
Using alligators seems a little much.
I don't think it was going to be approved by many organizations that
to assume alligators would rise
animals.
From the water to intercept meat pucks being thrown into
like dogs
the Everglades.
At the dog park. With
yeah,
frisbees.
Like I feel like that was a little hopeful on the part of the NHL. Glad we moved on.
I
past
think
it, that.
Like it's fun.
Give me the dunk tank and the golf event.
I love that. Okay, so, but what they did add was a couple fun things. So they're calling something pitch and puck. Mm. Six players will play a par four with a combination of golf and hockey sticks.
Yeah,
so there's the Florida.
So just putting with a hockey stick?
I don't know. I didn't, you know, I don't think they gave us too much information, just that it's going to be called pitch and puck.
Okay.
A combination of golf and hockey. Makes sense. You're in Florida. The guys are probably going to be trying to golf anyway. Hey, put them out there. Splash shot. That's a tough one. Splash shot.
Splash shot.
Will involve players shooting pucks at targets to dunk their opponents. So
okay.
We get the dunk tank.
Hell yeah.
I like that a lot. That's fun.
Now, I was worried about the dunk tank technology. That's hard to say,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you hate dunk tanks.
I'm worried about the dunk tank. We'll see if it goes off without a hitch. I'm worried. I'm concerned that
we'll have to get an engineer on the show.
This thing
that's
better
been working
be
on dunk tanks.
Like the old tech where it's just like the thing that the lever actually goes down when the button's hit. When you got to smash the button.
Yeah.
Let's use some like
it's so
let's
much
use
better
some
than,
higher tech.
It's so much better than watching them shoot pucks on the net with those foam targets. Like make the stakes high. Dunk somebody.
Hopefully like someone
it.
Goes in the water. Who do you think like
I don't know. We have to I think we should be looking at the all-star rosters down before they announce it and see like who would be best
you
at
know,
what.
You know who it should be? The people that actually don't deserve to be all-stars. The Clayton Kellers of the world.
Oh, that's mean.
Whoever's going for the Chicago Blackhawks, is it Seth Jones? I don't even know
that's
who it
so
is.
That's so mean. Hey, you guys suck getting
like,
the dunk tank.
Let's get the lower-end all-stars involved in that event.
But I think it would... You get more viewers if it was Austin Matthews in the dunk tank.
Of course. Matthews not going to want to do that.
All right, the third new event, so I got some new ones, taking place indoors is a goaltender shooting competition. The league started going outside for new skills competitions last year on the Vegas Strip, so they're going to continue with that goaltender shooting competition.
Okay, see how that goes.
Samsonov with end-to-end passes lately. Too bad he's not going. Women's players, hell yeah, also involved in the skills competition for a few years now, returning Hillary Knight, Alex Carpenter, Emily Clark, Rebecca Johnson, Sarah Nurse taking part.
No Kendall Coyne. The one All-Star game that I was at, Kendall Coyne Schofield was like the story.
Yeah, when she was the fastest lap.
Did she win or did she come second?
She didn't win, but she was up there.
She was up there, yeah. She dominated. Did she beat McDavid? I can't remember now. Anyway, she was the story of that event.
For sure. Longtime Florida Panthers goaltender Roberto Luongo, recently inducted to the Hockey Hall of Fame, set to take part in the Breakaway Challenge, one of several longtime mainstays, including fastest skater, hardest shot, accuracy shooting competition. So that's staying, but Roberto Luongo making his
old
return.
Old dude's dusting off the pads. He wouldn't play goal in the Hall of Fame game, but wants to play goal with...
He wants another opportunity to
a bunch of NHL All-Stars out there. Interesting.
The winner of each event earns $30,000.
No wonder why players don't really want to go.
Hey, $30,000 not bad.
I mean, it's...
Clayton Keller? He'd be happy about that.
Well, I don't know if it was Kipper who made the point yesterday. Back to Kipper. If you just put like a big chunk of change on for MVP, you think you'd
like $500,000?
No, like $5 million.
Are you insane?
Well, why wouldn't they be able to do
$5 million?
This is the NHL.
Yeah, they like, wouldn't even raise the salary cap
I understand that
cent.
Because that's because of the owners. This league is making money. If you want to put a really good product out there, $5 million for MVP 3-on-3. You don't think these guys are going to be fully in their bags? That's what it should be. 100,000 split? Is it 100,000 split between the team? Like, they don't care about that.
Well, they probably just use that and go to the bar and put that on the tab afterwards.
It's either charity or it's probably everybody gives a charity. One guy puts it on the tab that they're wherever they're going afterwards.
$5 million is outrageous.
I don't think it is.
I think it's outrageous.
This is a real league. This is a major league. One of four. $5 million is not that much
you
for an
Gary
MVP.
Gary Bettman is, like, opening his pocketbook to put $5 million on the center ice. No. Speaking of Gary Bettman, one last thing here. He had an outrageous He had an outrageous take about tanking.
Right.
Quote, nobody tanks because we have a weighted lottery. Nobody tanks.
I mean, that's...
Do you think he believes that?
Well, no.
I mean, you can't come out and say teams are tanking for Connor Bedard.
But it's like...
Sometimes I think he lives in his own little fantasy
world.
It's
what they thought when they were putting it together. Oh, how to avoid tanking? Well, we do a weighted lottery system. So tanking cannot exist because we said it can't exist based on our half-baked idea. It does exist. However, teams are not bad because they're tanking, per se. Teams are bad because the NHL has put so much of a squeeze on every single team, and these general managers can't help themselves, that they're in positions that they're in. Not every team is trying to tank, but tanking does exist. But the reason why there's so many bad teams is because of Gary Bettman, not because of Connor Bedard.
But they do tank.
They tank. They didn't tank for Connor McDavid? The Coyotes and Sabres, whatever it was, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, that was the most shameless tank job competition of all time. Like, they had no... The Buffalo Sabres that season were unbelievably shameless. And it didn't work out for them.
He continued to say, you're not going to lose games to increase your odds by a couple percentage points. That's silly. And frankly, suggesting tanking, I believe, is inconsistent with the professionalism of our players and our coaches have. Has he seen what's going on in Vancouver?
Just the normal lawyer speak from Gary.
Anyway, that's a fun one for us. We're going to talk to Jeff Merrick on the other side of the break. Talk about this. Let's get the update on Owen Sound, where he was at this weekend with Hockey Day in Canada. See if he had the prestigious arena fries that I had. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.